And so the ideas began to formulate in your intelligence as to how you wanted to manifest, how you were going to be different than anyone else, how you were going, the lessons that you were going to learn, and how you were going to give God an experience that no one else has given him. Because have you ever thought about why God manifests to begin with? God manifests to begin with because he wants experience. He is a life form. And every life form craves experience. And they don't crave safety. And the explanation I always give is like the game of Monopoly. In the fact that we're attracted to games like Monopoly, football, things that are somewhat, the more dangerous it is, the more we're attracted to it. I love football, but it's a very dangerous sport. But the danger is part of what really makes it interesting. And the fact that you can lose everything in Monopoly or gain everything makes Monopoly a game that just won't go away. It's created, over 100 years ago, and it's still popular because of all the potential disasters in that game attracts us. Now, when God saw that he could manifest within the universe and multiply himself through all these billions of monads which developed in us, he saw that he was creating a game that had many levels and would be very difficult. It's like creating a computer game, except the game has 7 levels in it. And with a regular computer game, you can play 1 level or go 2 levels up and then think, well, I got so good, I'm going to quit. But when God entered the universe, there was no quitting. No quitting allowed. He has to go through all the levels and come back up, or else he's stuck. You know. So he has to descend and ascend, or the game is lost. So it's risky for him. And there's lots of perils. So we're told, Joseph Smith made the interesting statement that when God created the universe, he did it with fear and trembling. And D.K. also makes a statement that fear itself has its origins in the warp and woof of the universe, the fabric of the universe itself. I thought, warp and woof of the fabric of the universe. Interesting statement. Anybody know what warp and woof is?
Doesn't have to attack weaving threads the way they go.
Yeah, in weaving threads. One way is the warp and the other way is the woof. You know. So when something is weaved, it's weaved with the warp and the woof. So he says the warp and the woof of the universe itself is the origin of fear. Now, how did the warp and the woof of the universe have the vibration of fear woven into it? The reason it did was because when God decided to create this universe, he was afraid. Wouldn't you be afraid too if you had to jump into a universe and wasn't sure how long it would take you to get back out and to solve all the equations? You had to go in there and you had to rely on your little creations. You had to rely on Joseph over there, Darlene, Susan. He's having to rely on us ne'er-do-wells to get him out of this situation.
Face the question. Does everyone have to get there, or just can one beat the game and get us all there?
Yeah, all of us.
Actually, I don't want to be finishing it too soon.
I want to know where the cheat codes are for that.
That's why you're here.
I'm stuck in World of Warcraft and not be able to get out.
So he's you visualize yourself as God, because in the beginning we were all there with him. In the mind of God, in the beginning, we were all there. We were all one life, and we were part of the whole thing. So visualize us one as God is. God, we are all one in a way that is hard to fathom. Because in the beginning, before there was any points of light, we were all interwoven in the warp and woof of space itself. before we manifest as points of light or monads. So we were all there in the mind of God, and we shared that fear. So visualize yourself there with God in the beginning, bored as the dickens because there's nothing to do. Okay, I got to create something exciting. I've created a lot of universes in the past, and some of them I barely got out of with the skin of my teeth. But I'm going to really create a difficult one this time. I'm going to create one that's going to be take everything I've got to solve all the problems that's going to manifest. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. What if I get trapped? And what are those things that I haven't even planned on? What if things surface to... What if it's harder than I thought? Because I'm creating some new things in this. New obstacles. You know, think of a guy creating one of these computer games. He thinks, well, I've got to create this villain here, and I've got to create this problem over here, and then I can't have it too easy on the good guys here. The good guys, you know, they'll be going along, and they'll think that everything's cool, and all of a sudden there's going to be a big tragedy here. So he's the guy that writes these computer programs, see, he's thinking more about what can go wrong than what will go right. And why? To make the game interesting. And what does Murphy's Law says?
Anything that can go wrong will.
And that isn't that what happens in a computer game? Everything that can go wrong does go wrong. And there's really only one way to solve almost every problem that occurs in these games. And they're produced that way to make it interesting. Yeah, Garrett.
Well, some of the simulation games now, they're actually self-learning, and they kind of invent new things. They're just sort of built on heuristic algorithms. So there's some of that pre-programming, and some of it is things develop as more people, like, join in and, like, create societies or this or that, you know, with built around a few principles or rules.
So you're saying we're all gluttons for punishment, basically.
Yeah.
So I can't understand, if he barely got out of other universes by the skin of his teeth, why would he want to make it harder?
Well, that's exactly what.
Well, that's what you do in a computer game. You master one computer game, so now you got it down. So you do all the levels. You got it down. It's easy. Do you continue to play them?
Yes.
Well, not forever, but you say, I want a bigger challenge next time.
Like 37 years ago, I had a profound experience in which basically, I had that sense of being home for a moment. And I remember thinking, like, we're not in such a hurry to get back, actually. God is not in a hurry to get back to himself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what we're all, like, searching for. But when you kind of get there, you go, oh, no, we want to be back here, you know, trying to get back there.
Well, it's like in church, they used to preach, oh, man, be so great when Jesus shows up, and after church, us guys used to gather around and we used to say, boy, I hope Jesus doesn't come soon, because there's a bunch of stuff I want to do. It was like if Jesus showed up, all of a sudden the fun wouldn't be there.
Wouldn't be a little party. We'd just go sit around and sing hymns or something, you know. So all of us teenagers, we used to say, man, I hope he doesn't come anytime soon.
God's up there singing the same hymn. That's why it's in your head.
What else has God got to do if he doesn't do this and he has all of time or whatever to do it? So he has to do something. And if he didn't split himself into parts, who would he have to talk to?
Yeah, right. I mean, if oneness is nice when you're just resting, contemplating. And that's what God does between creations. He contemplates, and we all gather in oneness in the mind of God, contemplating everything that has gone on in the universe past. And we contemplate that game, well, how interesting it was. We think of everything that happened, and then we start thinking of, well, on the new game, what can we do to make it more interesting? And We might have been too clever in that, because we made this life pretty tough, didn't we? So, Blaine.
Well, According to the law of correspondences, then, like if our body is sort of a microcosm of God's body, then there must be other gods creating space or creating points of light in their space, so maybe they interact with each other and say, hey, my game's better than your game.
Yeah, quite possible. Matter of fact, in book 4, the Eternal Words, it talks about the question of, is the universe just all there is, or is there something, another universe beyond it, which is, I won't spoil it for you, I'll let you read that, but it's pretty, one of the more interesting things I've written, I think.